Three friends, $2 million in cash missing from the Smiths' home, one unidentified body floating down Monroe Bay. The police are in hot pursuit of a young woman with blonde hair and a diamond ring she was gifted from her lover. Time is running out. Will the friends identify the killer before they lose their lives? Will the young woman clear her name? Tune in for Missing at Midnight, the special Valentine's Day, Wednesday edition of the Adult Bedtime Stories for the Creative Soul Podcast. Missing at Midnight airs February 14, 2024 at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tell a friend, grab a favorite drink, snuggle in your comfy blanket, and let's enjoy the show. Creative souls to the Adult Bedtime Stories for the Creative Soul Podcast, and happy Valentine's Day to you. I'm your host, Kamani, aka the Adult Storyteller, creator of this lovely podcast, author of Shea Butter Rocks, Play Hardball, Playing Like You Mean It, and the upcoming novel, The Shogun. If you're new here, welcome as well. I'm glad to have you. Now we have a special short story that will be read tonight. So definitely tell a friend. And as always, grab your favorite drink, snuggle in your comfy blanket, and let's enjoy the show. Let's dig in to Missing at Midnight. He dragged the body slowly. He had no idea the weight would drag him down. "I'm so sorry," he cried to the painting on the wall. The eyes seemed to follow him down the stairs and through the front door, in the rain. The storm roared as he carried the body in his arm towards the car. "Don't forget to buckle," plagued his mind as he put the seatbelt over the sunken body. He wiped back tears as he drove down Valencia Lane towards Monroe Pier. It was 4 a.m. and the parking lot was empty. He hurried towards his roll-up door, never looking back. Inside was his large rolling cart that he used for dumping fish back into the waters. The fierce thunder made him shudder as he took his time to dump the body into the cart. He pushed quickly. The sun was beginning to rise over the horizon, and he knew his time was short. With a loud cry, he dumped the body and the remains into the water. He reached down, laid on his belly, to run his hands through the cold water. "I'm really, really sorry." He washed his face with the dark water and headed back to his storage location.
Detective Dozier, wait up.
Brody ran to meet Dozier at the pier.
"You dropped your gloves. It's freezing out here. Good to see you, though. Sad it's on these terms."
Dozier grabbed his glove and slid both gloves in his pocket.
"Thanks. I must have dropped it. My mind is trying to put this crime together. I don't see a motive yet."
Dozier shook his head while lowering his eyes.
"I know. It's hard to believe. He was just out of police training. I spent so many days coaching him. We all have. He was a good man."
"Hey, man, you hanging out tonight? We got Marco coming through with his whole entourage. It'll definitely be lit. Hey, you good?"
"Yeah, JT, I'll be there. It's this case that has me shook up, but you know I can't discuss it. Did you reach out to Charlie?"
"I left a message. I'm sure he'll show up. Just pass the line tonight, just like you always do, and tell the bouncer
Wait, Rob. Yeah, Rob said he's coming. So tell Rob, you guys are my guests. Cool. Sorry about that, Brody. You know how excited JT gets when he brings a good headliner to the club. Dozier began rubbing his red hands. Yeah, I know. I'll pass, though. Katie is coming home early. I'm planning something for her. The kids are at my mom's. Look, I'm going to reach out to Charlie to see what he found when he did his investigation a few hours ago. I'll reach out if we find anything new. Charlie? I thought Charlie was on vacation, heading to see his daughter play her last game. Well, we called him in, and then we asked if he could work this crime scene before he left. I didn't want anyone new on the case. I'm grateful he did. Yeah, I'll be in touch. Brody took a long look at Dozier and walked back towards his car. Sundry moved closer to Talorum. Your father's dagger can give the power to disappear and reappear as you please. I don't just want the dagger. I want to get one of the jewels hidden under the waters. They would not be able to see me, and I would be gone before sunset. Come on. You've never wanted to hold the dagger? Talora backed up closer toward the door. You'll never get anywhere here without my help, Talora. Get on the list. Go to tastoryteller.com, and that's tastoryteller.com, and sign up for early release jewels, behind the scenes info, and more. See you there. Have you been around children lately? Queen Midnight adjusted her glasses in light. She ran her fingers over her lines, closing her eyes while breathing shallowly. I did see a little girl in a stroller at the park. I waved as I was running and she smiled. Did she smile first, or did you wave first? Like, I don't know. What does any of this have to do with whether I'll get the job or not? I should have known this was a scam. The girl snatched her hand back, grabbed her purse, and slammed the front door. Am I missing something here? Anderson smiled at Queen Midnight. He wrapped his arms around her petite frame. I was hoping to find you alone today. You can say I just bit the bullet. Anderson laughed, but looked down to see tears on Queen's face. Babe, I was just joking. I didn't mean it. I came for something totally different. No. It's not you. I'm just disappointed in the girl who just left. I saw in her fortune many things, including her getting the job. But I also saw she'd fall in love with her boss and destroy her chance in meeting her soon-to-be husband, because they both work at the school. I just wanted to warn her. Queen buried her head into Anderson's chest. She rubbed her eyes. Queen, you have a heart of gold. You want to save everyone, and that's why I love you. Let's get out of here. I want to take you somewhere. Anderson helped Queen to her feet, locked the door, and walked with Queen to his car.
Hi, yes, thank you. I appreciate that. Let me take a look at the results from the coroner. Okay, the prints do match Jonathan. It's not conclusive, though. He stated he has a full autopsy to do, but he did complete the prints match. Yes, I'm sorry too, Brody. Charlie sat back in his easy chair. On his computer was the recorded game of his daughter. He missed her last game, but was grateful she had a friend record it for him. On his phone was the recording from the night of the murder. The pier's camera recorded a car entering the lot. He could recognize that car anywhere. It was the car that carried him to and from high school on many cold and rainy days. Charlie shook his head. So you thought I wouldn't find out, huh? He watched as the figure dressed in black threw the body in the cart and pushed it to the pier.
Chari rewound the tape over and over to try and make out the face clearly. It seemed impossible to make out the face. But as he tried one last time, he noticed something fall out of the figure's pocket on the ground. The telephone rings. "It's Charlie. Leave a message." "Hey, Charlie, it's Dozier. I was just checking on you. I heard you were in the city and wanted to see if you were coming to JT's event at the club. Hit me back, will you?" Charlie went to his closet. Underneath one of his shoe boxes was a black case. Charlie grabbed the case and headed out the door. Are you a fellow podcaster? Are you a writer or author? Do you enjoy the creation process but lack the ability to stay organized with your thoughts? Are you a professional that is desperately seeking a way to increase your productivity? Play Hardball, Plan Like You Mean It is the ultimate guide to help you plan, perfect, and master your time. Get productive in 2024 and start your productivity journey today. Yes, yes, I understand. But what I don't understand is how the thief knew where the suitcase was. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, did you tell anyone where you kept your money? No, I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm just trying to put the pieces together. Look, Brody, our daughter visited Queen Midnight. She wasn't very kind to her. She didn't pay for her services and left abruptly. Now, it sounds like you're accusing me of this. My daughter thinks she mentioned our wealth to her, to this queen lady, and thinks she was the one to steal our money. I don't understand why she went there in the first place. Check her out. If she did, I want her thrown in jail now. Thank you for the new information, Mrs. Smith. We're doing everything we can. I'll reach out when we learn more. Thank you. You do that. Brody hung up the phone. Send a squad car to visit Queen Midnight. It's the only lead we have. Ask her a few questions. Maybe she'll send us in the right direction. The two police officers left Brody's office. Queen looked at her new ring. Anderson, her fiancé, proposed to her while laying on the beach the night before. He brought red wine and strawberries, her favorite fruit. They sat on the beach until she fell asleep under the stars in his arms. "It's so beautiful." She twirled in the mirror, looking intensely at her ring. She was amazed by its sparkle and design. Queen went into the bedroom where Anderson laid peacefully. She snuggled next to him and grabbed his hand. She felt uneasy. She closed her eyes. Queen was jolted to her feet after what she saw. She backed away from the bed. Tears fell from her eyes. She grabbed her purse and ran out the house to her car. As she backed out the driveway, she caught a glimpse of police cars heading her direction. "No, I have to let them know." Queen drove quickly, but noticed the police cars were driving behind her with their sirens blaring. She continued to drive in and out of traffic until she got to the expressway. She looked behind her, shook her head, and began driving 100 miles per hour. "I'm glad you guys could make it." JT shook Dozier in Charlie's hand. He directed them to a plush booth in the back of the club. "What are we drinking tonight?" Dozier shook his head. Charlie asked for a Sprite. Charlie looked directly at Dozier. "Look, I know what you did. I saw the Pierce tape. That car, the one I sold you, Dozier, why did you murder Jonathan?" "Look, I know it looks bad, but hey, you guys, where have y'all been? I've been waiting all night for y'all." Charlie spat out his spray. Dozier stood up. "Jonathan, we saw your body at the pier. We thought you died. What the hell is going on?" So there you go. That was a snippet of Missing at Midnight. Who Who do you think the killer was? Who do you think the dead body was? Who stole Mr. and Mrs. Smith's money? If you like what you heard and you want to continue experiencing adult bedtime stories for the Creative Soul Podcast, please consider becoming a supporter today. Supporting the podcast is easy. You can choose to give a one-time donation through Buy Me a Coffee. If you're listening on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, you can give us a 5-star review. I definitely appreciate it. And or you can become a monthly subscriber through Patreon. With this subscription, you'll receive behind-the-scenes clips, access to listening first parties, and more. If you're listening on Spotify, there is a question, and it will say, "What did you think about the episode?" Please let me know what you think. All links will be provided in the show notes. Also, take a look at the different tiers on Patreon. There's definitely a tier for you. If you're a small business owner and you'd like to scale, we have a tier for you as well. Our new merch is fresh off the block. Our I Listen to Adult Bedtime Story t-shirts are available now. The link will also be in the show notes. I also have a special request from my creative souls. Take a look at the GoFundMe request that will be included in the show notes. Share with a friend, you guys. Share to a friend so you can help save a friend. And thank you for tuning in to the Adult Listening Party, where we experience engaging short story samples, spicy poems, and inspiration. Your imagination depends on it. Good night, my creative souls. I'll see you next time.